Maybe I can start off with a really easy Christmas question. Okay, kids, who is the baby in the manger? Is it about as easy as it gets? Who is it?
Jesus!
Oh, come on, louder than that. Jesus. All right, okay, it is Jesus. All right, there is, of course, a deeper question behind that, isn't there? And that is, well, who is Jesus? And one of the ways we can answer that is that we can look at Jesus' family tree and we can see where he's come from. And because do any of you have a favourite Christmas film? They like Paw Patrol's Pup Save Christmas. Okay, I have to say that sounds like an absolute ripper to me. I confess I've never watched it. Or Elf. Or Grinch. Or my favourite Pup of Christmas, Carol. Or Home Alone. Yeah. Okay, those are great stories. Okay, I promise you, they are nothing compared to the true story of Christmas. Because right at the start of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew gives us Jesus' family tree. Okay, with all of the names of all of the men in Jesus' family. And at first glance, if we're honest, that does not look like much of a story, does it? Okay, but if you look closer, in among all the men, there are five women. The women like Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Then believe me, their stories have everything in them. Okay, but if there are only five women, just look at all the men. And from now until Christmas, okay, that's who we're going to be looking at. Okay, at which point, I know what you're thinking, at which point some of you might be thinking, but there are masses of them. Martin's going to talk for hours. I'm going to fall asleep in my chair and fall off my chair. Except, all right, look right at the top, okay, and two men are singled out, aren't they? Can anyone tell me who they are? Can anyone read that? Who are the two men who are singled out? David and Abraham, exactly. Okay, so the genealogy, okay, that is, a genealogy is a family tree. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And the question is, why single those two men out? And the answer is, because of the promises that God made to both of them. Okay, so can anyone tell me, what promise did God make to Abraham? Anyone? Yeah? He's going to make of his family an absolutely great nation. Exactly. Okay, Abraham and his wife Sarah were old. And it looked like they were never going to have any children. But God promises Abraham, you are going to have lots of children and grandchildren. How many children and grandchildren do you think he promised? Do you think he just promised them one? Or four? Or nine? How many? Yeah, exactly, loads of them. He promises Abraham a whole nation. He said, Abraham, when you look at the stars in the sky, or at the grains of sand on the beach, and you can't count them, well, that is how many kids and grandkids I'm going to give you. You are not going to be able to count. That's how many you are. Okay, but there is another promise that God made to Abraham, and that was that from his family would come one son who would bless the world and defeat his enemies. Okay, but which enemy? Because does he mean the bully in the school playground? Okay, or does he mean the team that beats your team? And the answer is no, isn't it? You see, we're going to go right back to the beginning of the Bible, right back to the very beginning. And it tells us that Adam and Eve, the very first parents, the very first mother and father, they sinned and they turned their backs on God, which is bad. But who persuaded them to do it? Anyone tell me?
Satan!
Yeah, the serpent, wasn't it? Okay, And all of the bad things and the sad things in the world have all come from that one sin. Okay, but right back then, God made the very first promise. And that promise was that from the woman would come a son who would crush the serpent. And God is now saying to Abraham, Abraham, that son is going to come from your family. A son who will bless the world and defeat his enemies by squashing the serpent. So that's Abraham. The question is, what about David? Can anyone tell me who was David? Anyone? Apart from being David. He was a shepherd. Then what did he become?
King.
He became a king, absolutely right. He became Israel's greatest king. Okay, anyone know what promise did God make to David? Anyone? Yes. David did defeat Goliath, and he defeated Goliath because he trusted God. You are absolutely right, but that was not what I was thinking. So we are playing, guess what Martin is thinking? What, anyone, what? Even if you're over six. All right, anyone? Yes. Fear. Oh, round of applause for fear. God promises David that from him would come a son who would reign as king forever. Okay, but tricky question. Okay. Anyone tell me, what do good kings do? Yes. Anyone? They do listen. Yeah, that wasn't a team. Anyone else? What do they do? Okay, I'll tell you what I think they do. All right, good kings, any good ruler, okay, should rule with justice, and they should protect their people from their enemies. Okay, and in the good old stories, okay, if there were dragons in the land, okay, the king would slay the dragons and rescue the princess. And so God's promise in the garden and his promise to Abraham are now focusing in on David. That from David will come a son who will crush and splatter the serpent and bless the world and be a king who will reign with justice forever. Okay, but the truth is that the years went by, didn't they? And nearly everyone had given up hope that any of those promises would ever come true. Until an angel appeared to Mary. Kids, what did the angel say to Mary?
That she would have a baby.
She's going to have the son, isn't she? Yes, exactly right. Mary, you are going to carry that son. Mary, you are going to give birth to the king who will rule on David's throne forever. And it's his star that the wise men saw, the star of that newborn king. And it is that newborn king that the wise men came to worship. What kind of a king is he? He is the serpent-crushing, world-blessing, ever-reigning king. One more time, what's his name?
Jesus.
Absolutely right. His name is Jesus. That is who the baby in the manger is. Except, how does he crush the serpent? How's he going to bless the world? How's he going to reign forever? Yes. He dies on the cross for us. Absolutely right. This king, our king, the Lord Jesus, son of David, son of Abraham, he goes into the greatest of battles. Against our greatest enemies of sin and death. And at the cross, Jesus isn't crowned with gold, is he? What's he crowned with? A crown of thorns, absolutely. And he takes all of the punishment that we deserve for all the times when we have turned away from God. But because he wasn't just a good king, Because Jesus is the perfect king. Sin and death could not hold him. And 3 days later, he rose again and he squashed the serpent. But where does it all begin? It all begins at Christmas. As the greatest king, son of David, son of Abraham, is born. And he's laid in a manger because he's the one who has come to heal every hurt by squashing the serpent. And he's the one who's come to bless the world.